Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. This show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, June 17th, 2026, on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician. My co-host Ron Meniza is out back building the shed. We're coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprout. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live episode at Fran Storch ND for 30 days, and also on my YouTube channel at Radio Naturopath. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. So the latest that's going on with me is, I'd been going on for weeks with bouts of extreme exhaustion, intermittent tremors, and then I started with having balance issues. So I was in the shower a week ago Thursday, and I bent down to clean my lower legs, and I almost fell over. And so I realized that I'm having balance issues, and the balance issues started to get worse, and along with the intermittent tremors and the fatigue. So I decided, you know what? I think I have Lyme disease. And we hope that I have Lyme disease because that's what I'm treating. And you'd say, why would you treat that if you haven't been tested? Well, I've been tested a number of times and it's always been Lyme disease. And I've been assured by a neurologist a couple of times that I don't have a dire neurological condition, that I have functional tremors. And so I'm assuming that the tremors are part of the tick-borne illness. So once the tremors started getting more frequent and the fatigue wasn't going away, and then I started having the balance issue started to get worse, I said, I think this is Lyme disease. I got a hold of my PCP and I said, give me amoxicillin. I'm going to take 500 milligrams of amoxicillin twice a day. And he hit me with a month's supply, which was great. And I got it within a day. And the fortunate thing was I have an appointment already scheduled with him to see him anyway in the beginning of July. So he said, when I see you, we'll run labs. And that's a good thing because when you're first diagnosed, if you do the labs too soon, you may not see the antibodies. And of course, if you're doing labs through a conventional lab testing site, you also might not see the antibodies. And because when you do a test, like one of the tick specialist labs, what's different is they run a lot more antibody bands. When I talk about antibody bands, I'm talking about the length in kilodaltons of the antibodies that they test for. So they test for a lot more of them. And if you do a specialty lab also, they're going to, even though you may have to pay out of pocket, they're also going to test for a lot more strains of Lyme disease. And so when I've been tested in the past, it's been positive. So what I'm not clear about is, Did I get a new bite, which is entirely possible because the ticks are terrible this year. Ron's been bitten by a couple of ticks and he luckily doesn't seem to have Lyme disease. And is this a reemergence? And it certainly could be a reemergence because I had a cold, a weird cold in the beginning of May that lasted about a week and a half. And then I felt much better. I went on a wonderful bike ride with my friends, Dave and Lance. We went out to Wethersfield. We stopped at Comstock Fair and saw all the pretty bicycles in Wethersfield. Then I came back and then I started to feel worse and worse about midweek after that. And then on the Thursday, I had a bunch of tremors again. And then I thought I would just rest up over the weekend, that it was just migraines and exhaustion and a post-viral syndrome. And by Monday, I felt worse than I did on Saturday. So I'm like, this is not good. So I was okay on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, I felt like I could barely do anything at all. And I said, that's it. I think this is Lyme disease. And fortunately, I got hold of my primary. He got me the antibiotics. So you're like, why are you going to take the antibiotics? Because the problem, so you could take, if you have acute Lyme disease, and why am I assuming it's just Lyme disease and not a co-infection? I don't know 100%. The thing is, if I had anaplasma or ehrlichiosis, I would be a lot sicker. I'd have a fever. I'd be really knocked out. Anaplasma and ehrlichiosis are very serious. And if you get diagnosed with that, your doctor is most likely going to give you doxycycline. And if I was clear that I had that, or if I was that sick, I would have gotten tested right away and I would have taken the doxycycline. And why won't I take doxycycline? I'm nervous about taking doxycycline because I have a sensitive tummy, and I'm afraid if I take the doxycycline, it's going to make me sick. And when I explained that to the receptionist at Dr. LaGuardia's, she said, I don't blame you. She said, I can't take that either. So I'm taking amoxicillin. The difference between amoxicillin and doxycycline are both good at taking the top off and killing active forms of the spirochetes for Lyme disease. But amoxicillin doesn't fight as many infections as doxycycline. Doxycycline will go after Lyme and anaplasma and ehrlichiosis. So if I had those, it won't fight that. Again, I think I'd be a lot sicker if I had anaplasma and ehrlichiosis. I haven't had a fever. And while taking the amoxicillin and doing the other things I'm doing, I'm starting to slowly get better. So I'm taking the amoxicillin 500 milligrams twice a day. And then I also said, that's it. So the reason I feel okay taking the amoxicillin, the other thing that about the difference between amoxicillin and doxycycline is that amoxicillin is good at killing the active forms of Lyme disease. It'll run around and kill the active forms. It's not so great at killing more stationary forms, where doxycycline will kill stationary forms of Lyme disease. Doxycycline is not good at killing the encysted forms. So the thing with Lyme disease, why it's so stealth, is that even as soon as you throw in antibiotics, some of the spirochetes are going to go ahead and make themselves into a stationary form, like an L form, and then some of them are going to insist, and now you have a chronic situation. So if you want to take antibiotics, it's a good idea to consume other things that are going to take care of the rest of it. The thing is that the Buhner protocol, which is what I'm using, is good at taking out all the forms of Lyme disease and co-infections just in case. So in the past, I've been diagnosed with Babesia and Bartonella. And Babesia and Bartonella, you can get those and not be extremely sick, but you can be sick enough to not feel well. And when I had talked to Mariah Hinchy in the past about my case, she thought that I probably had Bartonella. And then when we tested me for antibodies, I did have some Bartonella antibodies because Bartonella is very good at causing tremors. Lyme disease can totally cause tremors, though, because anything that acts on your nervous system is capable of causing tremors. Also, I have a pathway to tremors that is in my system probably since having the COVID booster vaccine, because my immune system is a little wonky because of that. And that's why if I get Lyme disease, I would say a moderately bad case. It could be a lot worse, but it certainly could be, you know, the no big deal thing that I see a lot of my patients and friends get. So this is enough that I have, it's taken me out of my game. I'm sort of crawling to work, getting through the workday, and then having to rest the rest of the time. I was supposed to lead a bike ride on this weekend and I can't do it. So I farmed that out, and no riding the bike until I have more energy. The thing is, when you're fighting an infection like this, you want to use most of your energy to fight the infection. So unfortunately I have to work. I mean, I know it's good for you if I work, because then I get to see patients and help them and stuff. Fortunately, my brain still works, and thank goodness for that. And the weird thing right now is, since I've been taking the amoxicillin and taking all the herbs, one thing that has happened, I was really sad and depressed on Wednesday before I started taking the antibiotics. Now that I'm taking the antibiotics, in spite of my extreme fatigue, I feel much cheerier and hopeful. So I think that some part of me knows that I'm doing the right thing, that I'm treating this. And another part of me knows that I don't think it's the amoxicillin. Well, the amoxicillin, who knows? That amoxicillin, because it's taking the top off the active spirochetes, it is the other herbs are getting into my brain and killing spirochetes that have gotten in there. So I'm doing like a slash and burn with the herbs that I'm taking right now, because I'm taking a lot of stuff. So let me tell you what I'm taking. All right. So Buhner protocol, I'm taking 2 to 3 droppers of all of these a day. So first of all, I'm doing motherwort. I do motherwort all the time. Thank you, Amy. Amy harvests them at the farm that she works at. And so I take motherwort all year. I take 2 droppers of motherwort twice a day. Motherwort is a great herb. It's a cardiotonic, and Lyme disease can go after your heart, and it can cause cardiac arrhythmias. because it can go after anything. Any part of you can be affected by Lyme disease. So it gives people, typically it gives people bundle branch blocks. I don't know that I have that. I have never been diagnosed with that. When I get EKGs to go to, you know, before surgery, or for my yearly exams, my EKG, my resting EKG is fine. I've never had a ongoing EKG. And I must say that since I've been treating, I have seen a reduction in palpitations. And I am assuming I have either PACs, premature atrial contractions, PVCs, premature ventricular contractions, and or SVT, supraventricular tachycardia. And if you have those, you get diagnosed with those and you have a low burden of them, you're not going to be treated for it. And what I would treat you, because, and I would offer you things like hawthorn, motherwort, magnesium to keep those calm. But I take motherwort all the time because it's a wonderful nervine. It's a nervine to calm you anyway. I mean, you can give motherwort to anxious people, even if they don't have heart issues. So it's a lovely calming herb. So I take 2 droppers of that twice a day. I added in cordyceps. And so one of the things about Lyme disease goes after cell membranes, and it will take the cell membranes and use it to protect itself. So so one of the parts of your cells that gets knocked is your mitochondria. And the mitochondria are the energy centers of every cell in your body. So if your mitochondria are being made to dysfunction, you're going to feel like, you're going to feel exhausted. So one of the things about cordyceps is cordyceps helps to support the immune system, and it helps to improve energy by supporting the mitochondria. So I don't know how much it helps the mitochondrial membrane, but it does help to support mitochondrial function. So it helps to bring you back from your fatigue. So 2 to 3 droppers of that a day. I'm taking cordyceps tincture. So that's a good thing. So I'm taking cordyceps. When I wasn't sure I had Lyme disease, I started the cordyceps before that. So the next thing I'm doing, and then I'm taking the herbs that work with the Lyme disease. So I'm taking Japanese knotweed. Now, Japanese knotweed is a hard worker. Japanese knotweed is really invasive. If you're unlucky enough to get it growing in your yard, it's a double-edged sword, because if you have it, it can be, you can take the root and you can make tincture out of it, and you'll be set for life with your cardiovascular and your you know, tick-borne illness protection health. But in order to dig out the root, you have to mine for it. It's just really hard to dig out. But it is a fantastic source of resveratrol. And Japanese knotweed crosses the blood-brain barrier. And Japanese knotweed will go after most of the tick-borne illnesses. It'll help you with Babesia. It'll definitely help you with Lyme disease. And I believe it can help with Bartonella too. But because it crosses the blood-brain barrier, it can help you if you have neuroborreliosis in your central nervous system. It'll get into your brain and it'll help to eradicate it. So I'm taking Japanese knotweed, I'm taking cryptolepis. Now, cryptolepis was something that when I talked to Marissa, my naturopath, about it, she said, since you only have Lyme, you don't have to take cryptolepis anymore. I decided to take the cryptolepis because I'm not sure if there's any Babesia kicking around. But also, cryptolepis is really good for Lyme disease. And both Japanese knotweed and cryptolepis can eradicate all of the forms of Lyme disease. So that's why I'm taking that. Those are 2 very important ones. Japanese knotweed and cryptolepis will both take out the active forms, the stationary forms, and the insisted forms of Lyme disease. So that's why I feel good about taking the amoxicillin, which only takes out the active forms. And then I'm having the Buhner herbs on top of that, which are going to take out the rest of it. And so the amoxicillin I have for a month, I'll see how I'm feeling at the end of the month. If I want another round of amoxicillin, I might ask him for another 2 weeks of amoxicillin. We'll see. I will see how I'm feeling at the end of the month. But the Buhner herbs, in my head, I'm thinking at least 3 months. And of course, if you're Marissa, it's going to be a year. And that may happen, because I've done that before. I've taken, you know, Buhner herbs for a year. But I want to get this sucker out of me. It's so exhausting. And here it is, gorgeous, middle of June, and I'm laid up again. I can't go for bike rides. I can't really exercise heavily. So right now I'm relegated to gentle yoga, gentle yin and restorative yoga. And that's pretty much it. And I don't feel good enough to do my PT exercises. So like anything that requires effort on the, in terms of exercise, I'm not going to do right now unless I really, really feel like it. And I have to be careful because it's real easy in this state to get post-exertional malaise. So I worked the last 2 days and now today I have the day off and I'm feeling pretty darn exhausted. So I'm taking Japanese knotweed, I'm taking cryptolepis. The third herb I'm taking is cat's claw. And cat's claw is really good at going after Lyme disease. And cat's claw is a great anti-inflammatory for joints. Wonderfully, I don't have extreme pain. So my leg is not doing too bad in terms of the neuropathy from the spinal stenosis. My back's not doing too bad. My knee is not doing too bad. So pain is not something I typically get with Lyme disease. I don't know if that's because I have the genetics. My HLA genes are not such that my HLA genes are not such that I get tend to get joint pain from Lyme disease. So that's very fortunate. So pain is not a big deal for me. One of the things that you can take for Lyme disease, two of the herbs you can take are echinacea and ashwagandha. I don't like to take ashwagandha because I think ashwagandha knocks me out. It makes me really exhausted. It's a nervine. And if you can take ashwagandha, take it because it's a wonderful herb. It's a wonderful balancing herb. It's calming. You can take it at night. And the thing about both echinacea and ashwagandha is that they are anti-hyaluronidase. Lyme kicks out hyaluronidase, which is something that breaks down your joint tissue. You have, you know, hyaluronic acid as part of the lubricating force of all of your connective tissue. And so Lyme will go after your connective tissue. So I'm doing pretty well for that, because I believe, because I don't have a lot of pain. So I also take collagen, and I talked to Mariah about taking collagen. Will the Lyme go after the collagen that you take? And she said, I think that that's fine. You can take the extra collagen and the glucosamine, because if the Lyme goes after the collagen that you're eating, better it should go after that than you. And the stuff it doesn't go after, you'll get to use it to rebuild. So I'm taking collagen. Anyway, so I'm not taking ashwagandha. I'm not taking echinacea. I am taking cat's claw, and cat's claw will go after Lyme, and it will also protect your joints. I'm taking Hotunia, which also can go after Lyme disease, and Hotunia can also go after Bartonella. So Hotunia is on board. I'm taking kudzu. Kudzu is a friend to Fran, because kudzu is really great for nerve tonic, for rebuilding nerves and being a nerve tonic and getting into your brain and helping with the nervous system aspects of Lyme disease. So, and kudzu, it's so interesting how two of the herbs that I'm taking and that are in the BUNA protocol are terribly invasive herbs in the U.S. Maybe we really, really need them and we don't realize it. But Japanese knotweed is terribly invasive. People who get it in their yard, I mean, I had Dr. LaGuardia say, come to my house, come get it. It's ridiculous. I can't get rid of it. And I talked to Carrie about it, and Carrie said, you have to mine for it. And I'm like, I'm not ready to do that right now. And likewise, kudzu tends to grow down south and it takes over. It grows so fast. And yet, it's the root is edible, and it's a wonderful herb to help with neurological issues. So kudzu is on board. I'm taking teasel. Teasel, I'm not taking tincture. I'm taking glycerite. Teasel is something that can also fight Lyme disease. And one of the things that teasel can do is to tease the spirochetes out of your tissues, so it can show up for the crypto and the Japanese knotweed to nail it. So teasel is happening. Am I taking anything else? That may be all of them. I think so. So those are the herbs that are on board right now. There are more I could take. I could take black walnut. I may or may not add that. I do have some black walnut glycerite, but I don't think that Marissa and Mariah are not big on black walnut for whatever reason. Maybe because there's so many others. You can also take red sage, Salvia militarizea. And I am not taking that. Again, there's so many others. Chinese skullcap is one I'm not taking either. And again, that was something that Marissa didn't think necessary if I just had Lyme. And the thing is, I think that the protocol, the herbs that I'm taking right now are doing a good job. I don't know if I would need the Japanese. I might look up the Chinese skullcap and see if there's some reason to take it as well. Chinese skullcap is a wonderful anti-inflammatory. They put bakelins into one of the collagen products that I can get that I can get. And bakelins are wonderfully anti-inflammatory, and they do go after viruses. So if you have Epstein-Barr virus on top of this, or you're finding anything viral on top of your Lyme, the Chinese skullcap can help with that. But Chinese skullcap is a wonderful anti-inflammatory, and it's really good for calming the cytokine cascade. But so are Japanese knotweed and cryptolepis. So that's why I'm sticking with those. Cryptolepis has something yellow in it that stains. I'm not sure what the constituent is. Cryptolepis constituent that stains. So it stains yellow. It stains yellow like it's cryptolepine. So cryptolepis is also known as the yellow dye root. It has high concentrations of cryptolepine, and it can stain skin, clothing, and preparation tools. It's bright yellow-orange when it's cut, and it oxidizes red and turns a deep red when exposed to the air. So that's kind of interesting. So if you use cryptolepis tincture, you will notice that it's going to start to stain your glasses and the dropper and everything bright yellow. And that's why I thought there were maybe berberines in it, but it's not berberines, it's cryptolepine. And it's called sanguinolenta because when you expose it to air, it turns red. So that's kind of interesting. So it's possible that you might not need all of those herbs to fight your Lyme disease if that's what you're going to do. But so what I am noticing is I started treating aggressively on Wednesday, and I've had bouts of high energy, and I've had bouts of today I'm feeling like low energy. The other thing I'm doing is I'm using a vagus nerve stimulator device, and I think I overdid it last night because it stimulated my vagus nerve too much. It has a mode on it that you can press for sleep. And I did the 10-minute sleep protocol, and then I'm like, well, that was nice. Let me do it again, because it offers for you to do it again. And partway through, like I was 4 minutes into the second round, and I didn't feel good. And then I turned it off, and then I had interrupted sleep all night. So interrupted sleep all night is something that can happen with Lyme disease. So I'm wondering if I'm just going to let it ride and try to sleep and just deal with it, or if I'm going to do something about that. And what I might do with it is I got some fizzy tabs that have magnesium and hydrogenated water. So I'm going to try those fizzy tabs and see if they help with sleep. The other thing I might try, because I'm postmenopausal, is to take some natural progesterone. I have natural progesterone cream, and that can help me to sleep too. Ashwagandha could help me to sleep though. But the reason I don't take ashwagandha is because not only will it knock me out, I'll feel groggy the next morning. I feel groggy today anyway. The other thing that is interesting is, of course, tick-borne illness, you've got cytokines going on, you've got spirochetes that are attacking your nervous system. And one of the things it can do is affect your neurotransmitters. And so when it affects your neurotransmitters, it can give you mood issues. Well, I was a crabby, unhappy pants on Wednesday. I am remarkably chipper for the way that I feel. So it really helped my brain. It helped me to feel better so that I have nervines that are healing my brain. And as much as I feel like blasted exhausted right now, when I feel good and happy, I start making plans in my head. Once I get through this, I'm going to get to go back on a bike ride with Dave and Lance. Once I get through this, I'll be able to lead bike rides again. Once I get through this, I'm going to be able to go to the beach. Once I get through this, like this cute Hallmark movie I'm watching, I'm going to go to Niagara Falls. So my brain is starting to work like that. So let me tell you, if you are feeling unhappy and depressed and you think it's tick-borne illness, please get checked for tick-borne illness and then treat it. Even if you feel crummy at first, it's going to help your mood and it's going to help you be more optimistic. Optimism helps to calm and regulate your cortisol. And so it also helps you to make better decisions about what you're going to do. And so I'm really grateful that following this protocol, I'm starting to feel more optimistic. So I'm going, well, I feel really exhausted today. I might not feel this exhausted tomorrow, because that's kind of how this goes. And the other thing I can do is probably midday, I'll have another dose of cordyceps. And the other thing I can do is I might have some mud water. And mud water I have the mud water that has tea and chai spices and the blend of all the mushrooms. I'm also taking lion's mane anyway. I've been taking lion's mane for a while to help my nervous system in general and also to help my neuropathy from my spinal stenosis. So I have the lion's mane on board, but Mudwater has all the mushrooms in it, so I might try that as well. So I've been going through a tablespoon every couple of days of Mudwater as a latte with a dairy substitute. I'm thinking dairy is probably not a very good idea right now because I don't do wonderfully with it. Although last night I did have a little bit of raw milk cheese. And so the other thing, of course, that you do is when you're feeling like this, you eat gently. Not a good idea to eat sugar. If you have any food intolerances, good idea to stay away from them. Eat as much produce as you can. So one of the things you do when you're taking antibiotics, you have to take probiotics too, because the antibiotics will kill your probiotics. And if you don't take a probiotic, the first thing you notice is your digestive system gets wonky. And so what you'll have is you'll either be constipated or you'll have loose stool, or you have the messy stool syndrome where you're like wiping for 5 minutes. So if you have the wiping for 5 minutes thing, stop using the toilet paper, get yourself a Perry bottle or a bidet or just a washcloth with gentle soap. If you're going to clean down there with soap, good idea to use gentle soap. And I recommend getting some soap from the health food store, like the liquid soap from one example is Dr. Bronner's, because it's very gentle. It's just aloe and castor oil. And then if you get a scent, don't get eucalyptus, don't get peppermint. You don't want to get anything that stimulating. But if you must get a scent, it's a good idea to get the, and don't get the tea tree. Don't get the hemp tea tree either. That doesn't belong, unless it's very dilute, it doesn't belong on your downstairs. But if you can get the plain unscented, the baby mild, that's fine. Or if you must have a scent, like I do, the rose and the lavender are good ideas because those are calming and soothing. And if you enjoy, not everybody likes lavender. I am a lover of lavender. What's weird is I love lavender. My sister and my mother do not. And I'm genetically pretty similar to them, but they are not into lavender. They're not into flowery. I like flowery depending what it is. And rose and lavender are two of my favorite things. So the rose or lavender is going to be nice for washing up. And I got a Perry bottle, but the Perry bottle, I think you need more pressure than what the Perry bottle offers. So the washcloth is fine. You can also get wipes, and I don't, unless you can't find them, you should get wipes that are, first of all, if you have a septic tank, it's not a good idea to put, body wipes into the toilet, even if it says it's okay, that you really should throw them in the trash. And you can get wipes that are made of bamboo and that have natural scents in them or unscented. And that's what's a good idea to get. I would not recommend getting the major brands of bathroom wipes. But those can be convenient. I would say if you're somewhere where you can't wash up, like you're at the office or you're out and about and you want to carry some with you, you could take those with you. The only problem is with being out and about. That's a point where, so like if you're in the supermarket and you go to the bathroom, you're like, oh, I need a wipe. That's probably okay to throw in the toilet because the place where you're at probably has city water. And so they have a much stronger, septic. They don't have a septic system. They have city water. So you're throwing into them into a grand tunnel where they're probably not going to hurt anything. Whereas a local septic system is going to get blocked up eventually. And so if you have a septic system, you don't want to use, half your roll of toilet paper. So that's why at some point you have to stop and say, okay, it's time to wash up another way. That's more environmentally friendly. But that's something can happen when you have antibiotics. So when you're taking the antibiotic, you need a probiotic that's not going to be killed by the antibiotic. And that's what Saccharomyces boulardii is. So I make sure to take my Saccharomyces boulardii pill. And you can take it at the same time as your antibiotic because the amoxicillin is not going to kill it. Or doxycycline is not going to kill it because it's a yeast. And it's not candida, it's Saccharomyces boulardii. And it is a probiotic yeast. So it's a yeast that helps to organize your digestive system. It kills bad guys. It will probably help to go after Lyme disease, but it also will just regulate your digestive system and you'll feel better. And so I'm finding taking that Sacbalardi along with the amoxicillin. I take it with my first dose of amoxicillin in the morning. And then my understanding is that the amoxicillin is only on board for like 4 hours, which is why generally you're supposed to take 500 milligrams three times a day. But I'm not doing that. That's too much for me because I'm doing all the herbs. So midday, I will take a multiprobiotic with bacteria in it in the hopes that it's not going to be killed by the antibiotic. So I'm doing that. I have my Sacbalardi in the morning, my midday probiotic, and then in the evening, I take my antibiotic again. And then the other thing you can do, of course, is you can eat fermented foods throughout the course of the day. And some of them are going to, some of them, the good bacteria is going to persist. Some of it's not. But, you know, you might as well, that you're doing one of these, you're going back and forth, but you might as well do it. So it's not going to hurt you to eat the fermented foods. I mean, the only unfortunate thing is it's possible that the antibiotic is going to kill the bacteria in the fermented foods. So my symptoms have been, the big symptom that really made me feel like I needed to treat this was lightheadedness. Like I'm having equilibrium issues and I'm still having the equilibrium issues. Although I think that since I've been treating, they have been gradually slowly getting better. It's only been 3 days. You know, I took the first dose, 3 days ago. So I shouldn't expect to be all better. And the unfortunate thing about Lyme disease is it's a long haul. And I don't know how long I'm going to have to treat this again and how long before I feel well enough to have somewhat more normal life. But I have to get lots of rest right now. So that's why I'm doing my show earlier in the weekend. So why do you get disequilibrium when you have Lyme disease? Again, not everybody's going to get that symptom, but I am. I think that my vagus nerve was damaged when I got the long back syndrome. It was damaged by the spike proteins. And so I am always managing my vagus nerve symptoms. But with Lyme on board, it's overwhelming my nervous system and it's overwhelming my immune system and my lymphatics and everything. So why am I getting disequilibrium? One of them is it could be when your vagus nerve is functioning erratically, it's not as good at making sure you get circulation to your brain when you're upright. I definitely feel better sitting down and lying down. In fact, I can sit down and lie down and not even know that I have disequilibrium. Sitting upright as I am now talking to you, I can definitely feel it in my head. I'm not going to fall over because I'm seated, but if I'm not reclining either, and if I lay back, if I sit back here and recline, definitely feel better. But I'm keeping on guard because I'm sort of performing at the moment. Anyway, so it can definitely cause dysautonomia. So your autonomic nervous system, that's having trouble. If people have POTS, are going to be more likely to have issues. So I'm feeling my pulse right now. My pulse is nice and slow. So even though I'm upright, so I don't think I have POTS because POTS is postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. You get up and your heart feels like it's an emergency and your heart starts to pound and you may pass out. I am not passing out. I am just having trouble standing up. So what I've always described my symptom is as orthostatic intolerance. It means I don't tolerate being upright well, but it's not technically POTS. Having said that, it still behaves like a dysautonomic symptom. And it responds to things that help the autonomic nervous system. So it helps me to use my vagus nerve stimulating device. That helps. Drinking water with electrolytes makes me feel better. Now, so just aside about the water with electrolytes, you have to figure out how much salt is going to be good for you, because I'm not getting a lot of exercise right now. I'm getting very gentle exercise. I may not need a lot of salt. So I'm having the other electrolytes, magnesium, potassium, calcium. The point is when you put electrolytes in your water, it helps you to absorb the water faster. And as we talked about before, salt helps you to get the water in, but it doesn't help to drag the water into your cells, inside your cells. Salt is good if you are depleted of salt. And how you get depleted of salt is by sweating, right? So if you're sweating a lot, then it's a good idea to get a higher salt electrolyte. I don't think I need the salt, although sometimes I will take a sip of an electrolyte that's higher in salt. But my everyday electrolytes aren't so high in salt. Like, they have salt in them, but not a huge amount. And I do put salt on my salad. So you know that the word for salt in Italian, the word salad has a Latin root, and it's ensalada in Spanish, and it's some kind of salat in Italian, as well as in French, and even in Hebrew. They cognated out of English, I suppose. It's the same word. And what is the word for salt in all those languages? It's sal. Well, not in Hebrew. It's a different word in Hebrew, but they use the word salad in Hebrew. But in the Romance languages, the word is some version of sal. And so ensalada is something that has salt on it. And salate, or however it's pronounced in those other languages, it just means a thing with salt on it. It doesn't mean, the implied meaning is that it's a combination of a lot of different things that you're eating. And usually, you know, a green salad is something that has some kind of leaves and lettuce and other vegetables in it. That's a garden salad, but you can have other things that are considered to be salad. It's just usually a mess of stuff. And it's frequently eaten cold. So you can have potato salad, which is just potatoes and a few vegetables and a dressing. And so those are all considered to be salads. But the origin of the word salad is ensalada. So I put salt on my green salad, which I have many nights of the week. And I have a few salts that I use. I use Himalayan salt. I might use Redmond salt, which is the stuff from the old natural salt that has lots of minerals in it from Utah. And I have salt that I got from a guy who sold mushrooms. And so it's mushroom salt. So it has a blend of mushrooms inside the salt. So those will go on my salad as well. So I get salt that way. But my everyday electrolytes are not, they have salt in them, but not as much as electrolytes that have a lot of salt in them. So if you use the famous commonly used electrolyte beverage that you can get at the convenience store, they have a lot of salt in them, because those were invented for athletes. And the most famous one was invented at the University of Florida at Gainesville, and they are the Gators. So that's why it's called what it's called. And that one, you can get it with sugar in it, lots of sugar, not great quality sugar, but sugar and salt help you to absorb water faster than plain water. And it even advertises on it that hydrates better than water. That's true. That is actually true. But I wouldn't use something like that unless I were sweating excessively. And I am not doing very much sweating these days. And that may be part of why I don't feel good, because there's a lymphatic piece to this as well, which I'll get into. So that brand has the electrolytes with salt and with sugar in it. It has one that's sugar free, which has artificial sweetener in it. And then it also has the low sugar, and the low sugar has no artificial sweetener in it, and it has some sugar and stevia in it. So the low sugar one I keep around, and I might have a couple sips of that during the day. It's pretty sweet. So I prefer not to do that. I prefer to have my my electrolytes. And then depending on how I'm feeling, I can make the electrolytes stronger or not so strong. So I have a few brands that I'm working with that are not too terribly strong. A couple of them you have to order, but you know, they're practitioner based. One of them is practitioner based. One of them is something you can get in some stores. You can get all of them online. And one of them is something it's not necessarily practitioner based, but you can get it from their own website, or you can get them on other websites. So I have three different brands I'm using for every day at the moment. And then I keep some of the major brand, the one with the alligator. That's the low sugar kind to have sometimes. So hydrate. Hydrating is very important, because you're killing off all these icky microorganisms, and the pieces of the microorganisms can still stimulate your immune system. So you got to keep your lymphatics moving. So the thing is, getting no exercise is probably not a good idea. So that's where the gentle yoga and the like standing up is not great for me, and I'm kind of nervous to get on my bike at the moment. I probably could get on the trainer. It makes me so sad to the idea of getting on the trainer on a day like today when everybody's outside riding. So I'm probably not going to do that, you know, unless I feel better and it's also a rainy day. But I don't feel like being upright. So doing yoga, the other nice thing about yoga, if I do gentle yoga where I'm getting up and down a little bit, it's helping to tell my my equilibrium system that it's okay to get up and down. And it's helping to train it to do that and make neural pathways that say, hey, it's okay to get up and down. You don't have to be this lightheaded and dizzy. So I'm not going to do a full-on moderate yoga class, but I might do, you know, 10 minutes of gentle yoga where I'm doing a couple of downward dogs and maybe a cobra or something like that. But my preference is to do yin yoga and restorative yoga. And that's going to help me move around a little bit, but keep low to the ground. And then the other thing that that does is it encourages me to do deep breathing. And when you do deep breathing, that helps to calm the vagus nerve. Well, not calm it, helps to access the ventral vagus nerve. And so while you're fighting Lyme disease and tick-borne illnesses, your cortisol is all over the place because you're going to release some cortisol to help push your immune system to fight the Lyme disease. And you're also going to get exhausted from doing that. So you're not going to have a lot around. So it kind of goes up and down. And I was reading about people who get the 2 to 3 a.m. wake up when they have Lyme disease. And I had that on Thursday night. I woke up at 2 or 3 in the morning and I could not get back to sleep. So, and then surprisingly yesterday, Friday, I had pretty good energy. Now today I'm crapped out. So after I do, this is going to be the most exertion I'm going to have today. I'm not going to do a lot of stuff after this. And you know, the thing is, because I don't have anything scheduled except to go to the farmer's market, it's strawberry day. I have to go to the farmer's market. So I have to, so I can pace myself through the day. And pacing is key when you have exhaustion going on. So I was talking about what are the different mechanisms for this lightheadedness. So as I said, one of them is, I think there's a great percentage of it, for me anyway, that's vagus nerve disruption. It's autonomic disruption, because when I do things to access my ventral vagus nerve, which puts me into rest and digest, I feel better. So what makes me feel better is using the electrostim device, doing yin and restorative yoga and doing deep breathing, just resting, and also doing things like, you know, rubbing the back of my ear, rubbing around me, because your vagus nerve tracks through the sides of your neck, you know, rubbing your sternocleidomastoid, your SEM muscle, these muscles on the sides of your neck. Those make you feel better. Splashing cold water on my face, washing my face with something mildly astringent. I'm cleaning my eyes. You know, I have to clean my eyes because I have the Demodex. So I use cooling stuff to do that between the tea tree oil foam and wipes and hypochlorous acid. So those are all very refreshing. So hypochlorous acid, I highly recommend. It does smell a little bit like chlorine because that's what it is, but it's a very low concentration of chlorine and it is a component of tears. So it's really safe to use and it's really refreshing. And if you have blepharitis, or if you have rosacea and you have Demodex, well, you probably do have Demodex if you have rosacea. It's a good thing to spray on your face to help to keep things moving, to help to keep the mites at bay. So the other thing is I'm taking antibiotics. Well, wait, so let's get back to that. The neurological mechanisms for the lightheadedness. So another thing that can happen is that you have neurotoxins from the tick-borne illness, and they're getting into your brain, and they can also go after your cerebellum. So cerebellum is the part of your brain that deals with balance. I'm not sure how much of that is going on. I mean, because, you know, when you get drunk, when you take too much alcohol, you get disequilibrium. And it's probably because the alcohol is affecting your cerebellum, makes it not work right. So I don't know if like I have actual attack of my cerebellum by the spirochetes, or do I just have all neurotoxin on board that's going after my cerebellum. I think that my balance would be worse if it was a direct attack on the cerebellum. That's why I'm thinking, hoping that it's just an autonomic nervous system thing. And so when you have any kind of infection, when you have the flu, that's why sometimes you faint if you have a really bad flu or sore throat or something, because you have dysautonomia. Your autonomic nervous system is running around because your hypothalamus that's trying to control your temperature is screwed up. So when your hypothalamus is screwed up, it makes it so that your autonomic nervous system can function more erratically. So when that's going on, because of the inflammation, that can make you lightheaded and dizzy. That's one of the things that can happen. It also causes temperature dysregulation. And typically, people who have Lyme disease, who have anything neurological, tend to be heat sensitive. So being out in the heat is not a wonderful thing for me right now. On the other hand, some people, depending on their constitution, cold makes them feel worse. And, if they're, little and slender, they're going to be more susceptible to cold. I'm not in that place right now. I tend to be more susceptible to heat, because I'm probably making enough of my own through a number of mechanisms, a dysregulated hypothalamus, as well as, all the cytokines that are jumping up and down, running through my system. And, when your immune system is pushing to get this out of your system, so that's going to make you tend towards being a little bit warmer, and your hypothalamus can give you a fever. I haven't had a fever, and that's why I said I'm thinking this is mostly Lyme disease. And I had, when I was tested previously, I had a number of species of Lyme disease. Good times, right? So yeah, it definitely can affect your cerebellum. It definitely can affect your autonomic nervous system, and the inflammation can affect your autonomic nervous system because it's affecting you hypothalamically. And because I probably have some vagus nerve sensitivity because of the COVID vaccine, my vagus nerve is a weak spot. So the tick-borne illness goes after that. So that's why we take the herbs that are nervines. So my nervines are the, as I said, Japanese knotweed and cryptolepis get into your brain and help. And then kudzu is a great nervine. And lion's mane is a nervine as well. And so those are all on board. I have lemon balm glyceride. I could take that. And that's going to be directly calming to nerves. I'm taking a lot of stuff. I don't know if I want to take it. Two things I didn't mention that I'm doing a few drops of edible essential oil. I'm using a couple drops of oregano oil. If you go to Antero, the urgent care, and get an acute treatment for your Lyme disease, they're going to tell you to take oregano oil. And the reason they tell you that is because oregano oil has carvacrol in it. And carvacrol will kill ticks. It will kill, not ticks, it will kill spirochetes. So I don't want to take the pills because I think they're too high in carvacrol for me, and because they affect my digestive system too much. They just kill too much stuff, because they'll kill anything. And I'm concerned that they'll kill the sac bilardi too. So I have liquid oregano oil. So I'm doing two or three drops in my cocktail for the lime herbs. And so twice a day. And the other thing I'm putting in is edible cinnamon oil. Now I dump a lot of cinnamon into my protein shake every day. So I'm getting a lot of cinnamon on board. But I do a few drops of the cinnamon oil, and it really improves the taste of the tinctures. So how I'm doing the tinctures is I used to do a crock pot, and I let the tincture sit in the crock pot for a few hours to burn off as much alcohol as possible. It doesn't burn off all the alcohol, but it does help to burn off some. Now I'm getting kind of lazy, so I take a mason jar and I pour boiling water into it. And then I pour two doses of the tincture. So there's about 14 to 16 ounces gets into the mason jar. And I put all the tinctures into the mason jar. And then I let it sit on the counter until it's cool. And then once it's cool, I put it in the fridge because I prefer to drink it cold. And I put the cinnamon oil. The cinnamon oil doesn't burn off because it definitely tastes like cinnamon when I drink it. And so that makes it taste better. The other thing is to settle my stomach, because I'm concerned I'm putting all this stuff into my stomach What I've been forgetting to do is put ginger. I have some ginger syrup. I could put the ginger syrup into the concoction too. But I have candied ginger that I can eat. You can also just put powdered ginger into it. And I put powdered ginger in my protein shake. Those are easy, quick ways of getting ginger in. And then, of course, if we're eating food, we're going to season our food with ginger whenever possible, whether it's by powder or the best, of course, is fresh ginger. And I do very well with fresh ginger. And I do very well with hot ginger. The spicier, the better. So the so getting some ginger candy is just a really easy way to get it in. And my body really wants to treat this. I'm not getting an upset stomach from it. I mean, having a little bit of issue with downstairs, but I'm not getting nauseous. That's one major thing. I have not had nausea and I have not completely lost my appetite. I think my appetite is reduced, but it's not completely gone. The other thing that's kind of cool is my cortex isn't affected too much. As you can see, I've been talking my face off to you now for 50 minutes and I'm thinking clearly. I'm able to work. And so I don't think that this has done too much to my cortex. I do have occasions where I'm skipping words, I'm missing words, I can't think of a word. And that's pretty classic with Lyme disease, but it's not happening too much. And I feel like my cortex is better since I've started treating. So the big symptom I have right now is I feel that logy, sluggish feeling. And part of that can be just the fatigue of my immune system trying to fight this thing. Because by the way, you do all these immune supportive things and antimicrobial things, they don't completely eradicate the tick-borne illness. Your immune system is doing it. So you know how you get lab tests and they come back whether you have antibodies to the organisms. Guess what? That's your immune system fighting it. So you don't 100% fight the Lyme disease. It's just you take all these things to help you get an edge over it, and then your immune system has to do the rest. So when you take cordyceps, cordyceps is helping your immune system to fight against the Lyme. Ashwagandha will do that as well, and echinacea as well, which I'm not taking, unfortunately, but I am taking the cordyceps. So, but I'm not going to take something that's going to make me more exhausted, but you want to support the immune system. So, and one of the ways you support the immune system is to rest, so that you're not expending a lot of energy doing other things, so that your immune system can concentrate on fighting the infection. So the other interesting thing is when I was doing my I had a phone call from the place where I was supposed to get my next epidural injection. They said to me, "Have you taken antibiotics in the last 2 weeks?" And I said, "No." And I explained to them that I've been having some excessive fatigue and I may take some Lyme herbs for it. And they said that that was fine. Well, I've decided to take the antibiotics. So now I have to call them and I have the injection scheduled for a week and a half from now. I think I'm not going to be able to do it. So I have to talk to them and find out when it's okay to get the injection. The reason for that, it's not so much about the fact that I'm taking antibiotics. It's that I have an inflammatory condition and I need to have inflammation right now so that I can fight off the infection. And when you take a steroid, there's methylprednisolone in an epidural pain shot. So it's immunosuppressive. So it's going to suppress my ability to fight the Lyme disease. So I'm not going to be able to get an epidural shot until I'm not sure when. When I call, I haven't been able to get through because I keep calling after 4 o'clock, even though they say they close at 5, it's not true. So I have to call them earlier in the day. I'll probably do that on Monday. And I have to find out from them how long in the future I can take the epidural shot. And I'm thinking I can't do it until I feel like I'm clear of this Lyme disease. And so it could be a couple of months. So what are you going to do? And I took that day off work too. And I may decide that I want to work a little bit on that day. So we'll see. So anyway, you can't do an epidural shot while you're taking, if you're taking antibiotics. I don't think it's because of the antibiotics. It's because of the infection. You don't want to be immunosuppressed while you're fighting an infection. And I can't remember if they asked me if I'd had a cold or anything in the last couple of weeks. I don't think that was as much of a concern. But the concern was, did you take antibiotics? That's what they asked me directly. So that was interesting. So the other thing is lymphatics. I could take some lymphagogue herbs. I don't know if I want to do that too, but moving a bit, drinking lots and lots of water. I could take an Epsom salt bath. The idea of getting in a warm bathtub does not appeal to me right now. I could use Epsom salt lotion, which might help, and I could do skin brushing. That would be helpful too. So you can do skin brushing where you brush on your arm. I do have a lymphatic skin brush that you brush on your arms and legs, and you can brush on your torso too, and you brush towards the center of your heart, which is where the center of your lymphatics. You can use your arms too if you want to. And just brush it encourages your lymphatics to move towards the center of your digestive system. I could get a lymphatic drainage massage, although I'm afraid that would absolutely knock me out. But one of the best ways to deal with lymphatics is just to make sure your liver is happy. My liver is being made happy by turmeric and milk thistle. And then this stuff, you know, drinking lots and lots of water, just pee a lot, just, you know, drink a lot of water. Also eat a lot of fiber, which I'm doing too. Lots of fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, and just keep things moving. And then lots of rest, but complete rest where you're not moving at all is probably not a good idea either. Which is why I was able to ride my bike last week. But then I made the decision that riding my bike is just too much energy. We got to fight this because there will be a tomorrow. There will be a time when I'm feeling well again. It's happened before. I think it's possible to happen again. The big reason I'm thinking that is because I'm so impressed by my decision to accept that I have the Lyme disease. And while I'm treating it, even though I feel like I want to lie down and sleep the rest of the day, I feel so much better emotionally. That emotionally, maybe it's because I'm happy that I'm treating the Lyme, but also I think that it's doing nice things for my brain. That when you start killing, that spirochetes actually affect your mood, and that's a known effect of tick-borne illness. That you get anxiety, you get depressed, you get stuff like that. And so I'm just enjoying quieter activities. You know, I'm watching movies. I'm preferring Hallmark movies, go figure, to other kinds of movies. I'm watching my Gilmore Girls. By the way, check out my shirt. It says Oi with the Poodles already. This, in the Gilmore Girls, this was Lorelai's attempt to have another phrase like what you're talking about, Willis, from Different Strokes. So, Oi with the Poodles. She thought that Oi and Poodles are two very funny words. And what if we put them together and made a phrase? And so the appropriate use of Oi with the Poodles already is when something seems absolutely ridiculous or crazy, this would be a good phrase to say. And you saw her talking it over with Rory before a Friday night dinner. And then, as often happens, her mother made her nuts with something she was going on about. And you heard the first appropriate use of Oi with the Poodles already. So this is all the shirt says is Oi with the Poodles already. I love the fact that it's a very cheery turquoise. And I'll wear it to the farmer's market today and see if anybody knows what the heck it means or if I get into some conversations with people. My office manager and friend Amy is going to roll her eyes out of her head because, oh my God, it's such a cheesy, chatty pop culture reference. But, you know, Gilmore Girls make me happy, and anything that makes me happy is good right now. We're in Connecticut, so Gilmore Girls, okay? All right. So I hope you learned something from what's going on with Lyme disease. I can help people with the Buhner Protocol. They can help you with Dow Vitality in Hebron as well. And, you know, I think that the Buhner Protocol, if you can manage to do it, it can be very effective and very helpful. And then we've talked about other things that you can do around that. So I'm going to let you go because I would like to, you know, get through this and then get some rest. You have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician. My co-host Ron Meniza is out building the shed. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, Buzzsprout, and YouTube. You may also watch the recorded Facebook Live episode at Fran Storch ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you are having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS stores and WHUS.org. Thank you for listening.